Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates, text number 9. Kogri Shupaman Saptam, Atmanam Aditendriya, Sneha Paishara Dridharabhadam, Utsaheta Vimochitum.
Utsaheta Vimochitum.
That's the easy one. Let's try it again. Ka. What?
What?
Griheshu.
Griheshu.
The household life.
The household life.
Puman.
Puman.
Amen.
Amen.
Saktam.
Saktam.
Very much attached.
Very much attached.
Atmanam.
Atmanam.
To his own self, the soul.
To his own soul.
Ajita Indriya.
Ajita Indriya.
One who has not conquered the senses.
One who has not conquered the senses.
Sneha Pashai.
Sneha Pashai.
By the ropes of affection.
By the ropes of affection.
Dridai.
Dridai.
Very strong.
Very strong.
Badam.
Badam.
Bound hand and foot.
Utsaheta
is able,
Vimuchitum,
to liberate from material bondage. Srila Prabhupada's translation and long purport. Well, yesterday we talked about not falling asleep, so that we'll be able to hear this long purport. What person too attached to household life, due to being unable to control his senses, can liberate himself? So what did I just read? Of course it's on the board. So. What person too attached to household life, due to being unable to control his senses, can liberate himself? An attached householder is bound very strongly by ropes of affection for his family, wife, children, and other relatives. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj's first proposal was Kumara Achara Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavatan Iha. One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. Dharman Bhagavatan means the religious principles are reviving our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this purpose, Krishna personally advises Sarva Dharman Prajaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. While in the material world, we manufacture so many duties in the same name of so many isms. But our actual duty is to free ourselves from the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. For this purpose, one must first be liberated from material bondage, and especially from household life. Household life is actually kind of license for a materially attached person by which to enjoy sense gratification under regulative principles. Otherwise, there is no need for entering household life. Before entering household life, one should be trained as a brahmachari, living under the care of the guru, whose place is known as the Gurukul. Brahmachari, Guru Kule, Vasandanto Guror Itam, the Bhagavatam 7.12.1. From the very beginning, a brahmachari is trained to sacrifice everything for the benefit of the guru. A brahmachari is advised to go begging, alms door to door, addressing all women as mother, and whatever he collects goes to the benefit of the guru. In this way, he learns how to control his senses and sacrifice everything for the guru. When he is fully trained, if he likes, he is allowed to marry. Thus he is not an ordinary grihastha who has learned only how to satisfy his senses. Trained grihastha can gradually give up household life and go to the forest, become increasingly enlightened in spiritual life, and at last take sannyas. Prahlad Maharaj explained to his father that to be freed from all material anxieties, one should go to the forest. Luckily, right near here, there's a forest. When you reach 50 years old, we'll have a nice celebration, and then we'll walk into the forest. Hidvatmavatam griham andakupam. One should give up his household, which is a place for going further and further down in the darkest regions of material existence. The first advice, therefore, is that one must give up household life, griham andakupam. However, if one prefers to remain in the dark well of household life because of uncontrolled senses, he becomes increasingly entangled by the ropes of affection for his wife, children, servants, house, money, and so on. Such a person cannot attain liberation from material bondage. Therefore, children should be taught from the very beginning of life to be first-class brahmacharis. Then it will be possible for them to give up household life in the future. To return home back to Godhead, one must be completely free from material attachment. Therefore, bhakti yoga means vairagya vidya, the art that can help one develop a distaste for material enjoyment. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha jana dyaishu vairagyam jnanam cha tat ahaitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. If one engages in devotional service from the beginning of life, he easily attains vairagya vidya or asakti, detachment, and becomes jitendriya, the controller of his senses. One who perfectly engages in devotional service is therefore called Goswami, or Swami, master of the senses. Unless one is master of the senses, he should not accept the renouncement of life sannyas. A strong inclination for sense enjoyment is the cause of the material body. Without full knowledge, one cannot be unattached to material enjoyment. But as long as one is not in that position, one is not fit to return home back to Godhead. Kogriyeshu pamansaktam atmanam ajitendriyaha sneha paisharjita badam utsa heta vimochitum. What person is too attached to household life, due to being unable to control his senses, can liberate himself. An attached householder is bound very strongly by the ropes of affection for his family, wife, children, other relatives. These verses in Bhagavad Gita are not going to be very much appreciated by ordinary people. As I mentioned, when I was in Radhadesh, every week, myself and other devotees, especially my disciples, we'd go out twice a week to different places in Belgium and Holland and distribute books. And one time we were in a place called Maastricht, which is just on the border between Holland and Belgium. And one of the ladies was distributing books, and she distributed one of our books to one lady. And then that lady called up this Mataji who gave her the book, or distributed the book to her, and said, "I thought you were nice people, but I read this book." And in the book, there's this picture of the forest of enjoyment. And in the picture of the forest enjoyment, because there's one verse in the fifth canto which describes how the wife is like a tigress. So there's a picture of a lady as a tiger with fangs. And then there's the children are supposed to be like jackals. So all the children are jackals. And they're all ready to attack this poor man. So this is a nice introductory book for people. They can understand the subtleties of our philosophy. In any case, she was quite surprised that she said, I thought you were a nice lady, but I can't understand why. How can you be distributing such a book like this? Of course, our philosophy is not that. Women are necessarily like tigers and the children like jackals. Otherwise, we were little kids, you know, oh my God, stay away from me, I hate jackals. Instead of Gurukul, we have Animal Farm. And instead of, you know, household, so-and-so lives here, this is such-and-such zoo. There's all kinds of animals that are living here. But this is not exactly what our philosophy... Ordinary people, maybe. Because in this age, everyone is trying to exploit each other. And generally, men, they're also trying to exploit. So it's not like the ladies are supposed to be like tigresses. And the children are like jackals, and the men are all innocent with a little halo. No, this material world is a place where everyone is trying to exploit each other. But modern civilization is just out of touch with reality, that's all. Because they have no idea that there's another life. The most prominent so-called religions, which are religions, but they're just missing points, have no idea what actually is reality. Originally in the Bible, or even now in the Bible, whatever the Bible may be, one thinks that there's this one thing called the Bible. There's actually many contenders to be the Bible. Of course, they've accepted the four Gospels, and they accepted the letters of Paul, whatever, as part of the canon. But there are other scriptures that were accepted previously. In any case, even in the Gospels, there's talk of reincarnation, although they tried to take out as much as they could, but I guess they couldn't take out the whole thing. But because, generally speaking, reincarnation is not accepted, and they have some very strange philosophies about rising again with your bones arise. Could you imagine? It's like a Halloween party, so all the bones coming out of the ground. And all the dogs running to, bones, oh my God, let's get them. But the actual fact is that we're already reincarnating at every moment. Karna means flesh. Mangsa, actually, I guess the word is probably the same thing here. In Russian and Polish, mieso. So there must be something similar here, too. What's the word for flesh? What's that?
Meso.
Meso. So it's a mispronunciation, mieso. Which is coming from mangsa, which is flesh, from the Sanskrit. So, karna, and at least in the Latin languages, karna means also now flesh. In Spanish, yo quiero comer carne. I want to eat flesh, meat. Yo no quiero comer carne. I don't eat flesh. So, incarnation means that being constantly repairing in your flesh. So everyone can look around and you can see we're in our flesh. But our flesh is always changing. So we're reincarnating at every moment. were an avatar. Unfortunately, we're the Mudha avatars. We're the full avatars. We're incarnating at every moment, but we're not necessarily getting any wiser. So, the actual purpose of life is explained here, is to get out of the cycle and keep on reincarnating from one body to the next. Because when we accept the body, it is janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, nudarshana. That unless one accepts that there is misery from birth, death, old age, and disease, then there's no impetus to make advancement in spiritual life. If one actually believes, I may not be perfectly happy now, but in the future, by scientific advancement, or by whatever means, I'll actually find myself in a paradise, heaven on earth. Or, after leaving this body, I go somewhere like heaven, and I'll live there in a material, in some kind of body, like I'm living now. So, then there's no impetus for actual spiritual advancement. But, therefore, knowledge is required. So that knowledge is what is the material world meant for. And here it says it's meant for liberation from the material concept of life. And everything in the material world is geared, or its purpose is for that, including household life. Now, whether one is a householder in modern society, or one is some other position, but everyone is more or less in modern society trying to gratify their senses. They believe that to gratify their senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. Chintyao aprameyam cha pralayantam upashritya. Kama papoga parama etabam iti nischita. Asya pashya shuterabhada kama krota parayana. Yahanti kama bhogartha ani enartha sanchaya. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the very end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement for their anxiety. So if people are in anxiety, they go to a psychiatrist who's more in anxiety than they are. My major in college was psychology, and because I was inspired by one of my cousins who was a psychologist. But it wound up he was crazier than anyone else. And when I was preaching at the universities, the people who were least inclined to anything spiritual were the psychology department. They're the most materialistic of everyone. So, people are in anxiety because they want to gratify their senses, and their senses can't be gratified completely or permanently. To try to do the impossible, of course, is going to be a little discouraging after some time. If you try something, do something that doesn't work, and you keep on doing it eternally, it gets frustrating, like Sisyphus. Sisyphus was cursed to be in a hole for his entire existence, eternally. And his whole business was to take a big, big boulder and to try to push it out of the hole. That's all he had to do. Simple service. Unfortunately, as soon as he got the boulder to the very edge of the hole and tried to push it out, it would immediately fall back. And he'd have to go to the bottom of the hole and start pushing it up again. So you do that for a few hundred million years, you probably get a little frustrated. You kind of lose your enthusiasm. You're not as optimistic as you were for the first 50 million years. Oh, I got it. It's going to go this way. Oh, I can't. Okay, one more time. So that's material life. This time it's going to be good. This time I'm not going to get old. I'm not going to get diseased. everyone will love me forever. And it's the same old thing. Puna puna sharvita charavanana. Therefore, nunam pramakta kuru te vikarma. Indeed, Maharaj Shabde said, nunam means indeed, pramaktak. People are crazy. Nunam pramaktak kuru te vikarma. Because they are doing simple activities. Yet indriya pritya aprinoti, just trying to gratify their senses, which are never satisfied. Therefore, I think that a real sadhu, tatsaramanye sura varya dehinam, sadhamu vigna dhyama sakraha. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma dinindriya pritya apunoti, tatsaramanye yat atmano yam asanapi kleshita ashadeha. That I think a real sadhu is going to try and get out of material existence. Because the material world is temporary, and one has to take nunam pramata kurute vikarma dinindriya pritya prinoti saramanye yat atmano yam asanapi kleshida asida, and it's full of misery. No matter how much one tries to get out of misery, there's always going to be some problem. Now, if one wants to stay here forever and trying to solve problems that are never solved, you're welcome. Material nature has invited us to stay here forever. Don't worry, you won't be kicked out of the material energy. You won't one day get kicked out. Oh my God, I'm in Goloka Vrindavan. How to get out of here? There's a soccer game going on. I missed it. Let me get back. This is horrible. My God, there's all these cows here. Oh, these people are just all smiling. They must be intoxicated. There's no McDonald's, my God. All these cows and there's no McDonald's. What's going on? So one has to understand that the material world is a temporary place full of miseries, or else, So that as long as one paravas means that one is defeated by the material energy. Now, what is that defeat? It's not like there's a big battle going on and Maya is there riding on her tiger and she has eight arms with all the weapons and we're there with our danda. All right, I'm ready for you, Maya. I saw a karate movie yesterday, you're finished. No, the defeat is that we get attracted by illusion. The reality is being presented to us, and we're saying, oh no, reality, it's a waste of time. I want illusion. I want more illusion. So then we're defeated. Paravas, tavada, bodha, da, by ignorance. Identifying ourselves with the body, with the false ego, and then trying to enjoy the material energy. yavandignasita atmatattva. And therefore, we don't know who we are, what the purpose of life is, etc. We don't know that household life, and of course nowadays, everyone is, even if you're not officially a householder, but everyone is interested in just sense gratification. You may not be married, but you have 15 girlfriends. I'm single. Or you're old, and you're too old. Of course, I've seen in the airport, ladies and gentlemen, they're in their 80s or even 90s, and they have girlfriends. They're acting with each other as if they're boyfriend and girlfriend. Because they can't give it up. They can't enjoy. Prabhupada gives the example of these old people, wealthy old people. They invite all their friends over for a big feast. They have all the different big preparations on the table. And they all look at it and compliment the preparations. And then they leave, and the servants come and eat the feast, because they can't eat. But they want to do something, so they, in their imagination, they imagine that they're having a big feast. So the material world is imagination anyhow, and people are imagining somehow or another they're going to enjoy, even in the present circumstances. But actually it's just imitation, because there's nothing really here that's ultimately supremely enjoyable or permanently enjoyable. The example is given in Bhagavad Gita, Urgamalama Dakshatam Ashvatam Prabhu Arabhyam Chidansi Yasi Parani Yastvam Veda Navedav Yastvam Veda Navedavit. That there's a banyan tree, it has its roots upward and its branches down, and the leaves of the Vedic hymns, that one who knows this tree is a knower of the Vedas. So everything here is just an imitation of the spiritual world. Everything looks like it's promising, just like if you go to the river and you see an apple tree. In the river there appears to be apples. It's promising. But if you dive in to get the apple, you'll get disappointed, because there's no real apple in the water. It's just a reflection. So here it's promising, and being under the control of illusion, we believe that it could be real. And we dive in to get it, and we wind up disappointed. But because of forgetfulness, because that's one of the things that we get along with coming to the material nature, after illusion and delusion, there's smriti here. We lose our memory. Krodha bhavati samoha. From anger comes complete delusion. Krodha bhavati samoha. Samoha smriti vibhramsa. Vibhramsa means we are... Our memory goes away. So although we're experiencing the same disappointment over and over again, but because we forget, therefore we come back again thinking that maybe this time it's going to be different. So that's called madness. If you keep on doing the same thing over and over again, you get the same result, and you believe that this time I'm going to do the same thing, I'm going to get a different result, then you're crazy. How many times do you have to do the same thing before you get discouraged from doing it again? And from Smriti Vibhramsa comes Buddhi Nashat. We lose our intelligence, and therefore we don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. So actual household life is there as a regular principle, so that one can learn, as I said yesterday, that one can learn that yes, there may be some kind of satisfaction in household life in the material world, but if it's regulated, and at the same time one tries to cultivate Krishna consciousness, then gradually one will realize that Krishna consciousness is much superior to trying to gratify one's senses. And only when one realizes something superior, that there's no the maximum happiness in household life, is insignificant compared to the happiness in actually Krishna consciousness,
Then one can give up household life.
Otherwise, it won't be possible. And household life, grihastha life, is the only way you can actually find happiness in household life. If you try to be a grihamedi and gratify the senses unlimitedly, you'll just put yourself into more and more bewilderment, more and more anxiety, more and more fear, more and more suffering, in the name of so-called enjoyment. But in grihastha life, when things are more regulated, then one can actually feel some real affection, some attachment, whatever. To the extent that when the man would leave his body, the wife actually loved the husband enough, felt attached enough, that she didn't voluntarily enter into the fire in separation from her husband. Nowadays, the wife throws the fire at the husband to the fire. Get rid of him. You rascal. A little bit different mood. So this is the mood we're trying to cultivate, the first mood. If we're going to become a householder for 25 years, it should be dutiful. By service, dutiful service, then real love and attachment will develop. We love people who serve us, not who try to exploit us. So we dutifully perform our services, trying to help people become Krishna conscious, and at the same time, household life means that one will take care of the material necessities also. It's not that if you're living in a house, I feed you, but I don't really care if the house is falling apart or not. No, I should feed you, not just decorate the house, but I should also maintain the house nicely, or else you won't feel very comfortable in it. So we have to maintain the body, and household life is a very good arrangement, especially when you have joint families. It's a very nice arrangement for raising children, who later on provide for the old people, and at the same time, division of labor. The lady cooks, the man cultivates the fields so that there's something to eat. So a nice division of labor so that one can live peacefully in this material world as much as possible, and therefore in a peaceful mind cultivate Krishna consciousness. But if one doesn't know about how household life is desirable for the purpose of developing Krishna consciousness, that even if one has a very nice household life, like we find many of our devotees from India or people from India who are cultured, they used to have a fairly good household life. And their children generally would be raised in a stable family and they had some intelligence, they weren't running, you know, previously they come and they had a regulated life, and so they had some intelligence, and they did very well in school, etc., etc. But by bad association, generally, when they come to the West, their children become degraded after some time, and they become disappointed also. Bad association. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is meant so that it can establish not only a good brahmachari life, as it says here, that one is trained up to respect ladies from the beginning of life. And ladies are trained to appropriately serve the brahmachari, respect the brahmachari, etc. Mutual respect is there from the beginning of life. And therefore, and the idea of selflessness, giving whatever one begs to the guru, is there, especially the higher class of people, so that one is not attached, as if we're going to live here forever, try to accumulate as much as possible. And when you're leaving your body, you put it, you know, forward to such and such place, and everything you have. Find out where your next reincarnate. And everything forward there. But it's not going to happen. So, the more you accumulate, the more you become attached, the more you become miserable, the more you suffer at the time of death. So, the human form of life is meant from the beginning to learn detachment. to become a servant of higher authorities. So that at the end of life, as a servant of higher authorities, one can actually be prepared to go back to the spiritual world if one is eligible. Otherwise, if one is preparing for something else to simply gratify the senses, then one is simply preparing for the lower species of life. But the Hare Krishna movement is supposed to be compassionate, it's supposed to help people so that they prepare themselves for higher purposes of life. We're trying to make people happy, or we're trying to work for their best interests, and they should know what it is, that they're eternal, Krishna is in God, and they should work on that basis, not that they're their body and everything's temporary, so they should grab whatever they can now. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
As you were saying, how we should sort of progress naturally through these ashrams, my question is, okay, for outside people, it's kind of understandable that they cling to household life to the very end. But what about the devotees? I don't know exactly, but as I understand, I mean, you will know it best, but in our society, there's hardly anyone who's like on a trajectory towards from household life towards vanaprastha and then sannyas. So my question is, how come this is not more present or evolved?
Well, I guess we're aspiring to become devotees. Doesn't mean if you put on a dhoti and tilak or you change your name that you become a devotee. Devotional service, devotee is a lot deeper than that. So unless we actually Prabhupada started a society where people were not trained in the Vedic culture. And even in the influence of Kali Yuga, even a place where there was a little bit of Vedic culture left is rapidly deteriorating. So it may take some generations before we get devotees who are actually a little bit more conscious of what Krishna consciousness is and what the process is. So we can judge things by Vairagya Vidya Nidya Bhakti Yoga. How much detached, how much real knowledge devotees have. If they don't have, then we know that they're not so advanced, that's all. They haven't really taken the process very seriously. We shouldn't be so overly, we should be concerned, but we should understand this is not the only life. If you don't pass the test this lifetime, you come back for your retest until you finally pass. Anything else?
The purport is mentioning that household life is kind of a license for regulated sense gratification. Later, you were making a point that in more prominent mode of goodness is more prominent in behavior of the spouse and of Grihasa people, then some real emotions can develop. So you were making a point that that's something higher than ordinary sense gratification. So if that doesn't fit in that category, what are those real emotions if they are not simply ordinary sense gratification?
In the mode of goodness?
Yeah, I mean, you were mentioning that the real...
Well, if you come to the mode of goodness, then you'll become Krishna conscious to some degree.
So you see your wife as a devotee and emotions come from...
Yeah, you'll understand you're Krishna's servant. Vanashram is Jagavai Vishnu. You do everything as a service for Vishnu. So if you follow that, ultimately, then your relationship with everyone becomes as a servant of Vishnu and as their servant.
But excuse me, but then again, why having a wife when you are in the mode of goodness? Then you can serve everybody. I can serve brahmacharis. Why marrying? Then that's
cool. Well, it depends on who you are. Maybe for ourselves, we're not marrying for the same purposes that Prahlad Maharaj or Yamaraj or Yudhisthira Maharaj, for the high personalities, they marry for Priya Ratam or maybe different reasons. But for ourselves, because we're not on that level, therefore we may have a different reason. Maybe an opportunity for regulated sense gratification, cultivation of Krishna consciousness simultaneously. So we realize that how much superior Krishna consciousness is to any kind of sense enjoyment. But that doesn't mean that everyone who enters into household life, like Prahlad Maharaj, or those who are great devotees, they enter in household life sometimes to set an example or as a matter of duty, fulfill their duties.
Okay, thank you very much.
Grandaraj, Madhagatam, Pidaj.